Open On is broadcast on KBOO every Friday, right after the noon news to 1:30. On Friday, February 25th, Moving On will present part two of a celebration of Black History Month. We'll hear music from the Civil Rights Movement, as well as from contemporary folk performers Laura Love, Rhiannon Giddens, Reggie Harris, and more. Tune in Friday, February 25th, right after the noon news to celebrate Black History Month, only on KBOO.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Welcome to Labor Radio on KBOO Portland. I am your host, Michael Cathcart.
And I'm L.A. Gilliland.
Thank you so much for joining us. Just quickly before we jump into the show, we would like to give a special thanks and shout out to the Labor Radio Podcast Network for hosting podcasted versions of our show each month. So be sure to check that out at laborradionetwork.org. And before we get started, I want to let you, our listeners, know that KBOO is in the middle of our All Thrills, No Frills winter membership fundraising drive. Don't forget that KBOO is a commercial-free, volunteer-powered radio made possible by amazing people like you. In fact, 80% of the station's funding comes from the generosity of our members. If you can, please help us reach our goal of raising $15,000 by March 19th. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. We here at Labor Radio thank you so much for your support. And so today we're going to take a look at a labor issue that I must admit I was completely oblivious to before researching it this week. The topic actually caught my eye because of an interesting change.org petition that has been gaining a lot of attention over the past few weeks. It highlights a pretty glaring example of wage theft and unfair labor practices in the airline industry. And this petition, which now has over 115,000 signatures, calls for flight attendants to begin getting paid during the boarding process. So, as it turns out, flight attendants are only compensated once the plane is set to pull away from the gate. Before that time, they are paid at a rate that is well below the federal minimum wage, which I just had no idea that was the case. And so as the petition itself explains, until the doors close and the brakes are lifted, flight attendants are paid on average $2 an hour. Even though they are required by their company and the FAA to be there and perform crucial job-related safety and customer service duties, airlines are taking more and more of flight attendants' time. In the past decade, the boarding process has gone from 30 to 35 to 40 minutes. These decisions were made by management, and no flight attendants were consulted during the decision-making process. So please join flight attendants in asking for fair and livable wages for the work they perform and the sacrifices they make. And so, yeah, that is the actual text of the petition. And, you know, right off the bat, it reminds me of the exemption that a lot of states carve out that allows restaurant industry employers to pay their tipped workers less than minimum wage, presuming that they'll make up the difference through the generosity of their customers. Of course, the obvious difference here is that despite being a direct customer service position that arguably is as challenging as being a waiter, there's zero expectation that flight attendants will be tipped by passengers at all. Like, I've never flown in first class, but I'm pretty sure that doesn't happen there either. I don't think any flight attendants get tipped. The way I see it, if flight attendants are required to be somewhere by their employer, be in uniform and be prepared to provide service with a smile, and are not free to leave without any sort of repercussions regarding their job and their employment status, then they are at work and they must be paid accordingly. Like, that just seems pretty straightforward. It's weirdly, like, the situation is hauntingly reminiscent of the Amazon workers as Amazon workers in their fulfillment centers being forced to clock off and then stand in long lines for sometimes up to 30 minutes without being paid in order to pass through metal detectors before they get to leave, you know? So you're there at work, and then you have to clock off, but still stay at work, and you're not free to leave until you were able to pass through that metal detector. Obviously, you know, they're two very different types of jobs, but, like, the requirement of the employer to be at work and not get paid for it is the same basic, you know, a transgression there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in light of all that, it does not, to me at least, seem unreasonable that to suggest that flight attendants' pre-departure rate be raised to at least meet the federal minimum wage standards. You know, that's not to say that they would get paid their entire full rate, their hourly rate that they would get paid when they're in the air, but at least they should get paid the minimum wage while they're, you know, at work, but not technically, you know, in the air or in flight. And yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of examples of this type of behavior from different employers. I mean, another pretty obvious example is there are oftentimes people in fast food industry positions who complain about their employers basically saying, like, you know, you work at like a Pizza Hut and there are no pizzas to make at that moment, your employer will clock you off. And then as soon as a call comes in to make a pizza, you get clocked back on. So you're there and your time is spent at that place, but you're only compensated for the amount of time you're actually physically doing work. Which, I mean, seems like it should be illegal. I guess it's maybe not technically illegal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as I said, like, I'm kind of just learning about this now, and it seems pretty insane considering what it is that what you see flight attendants do as you come onto the plane. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, mostly it's just you getting to your seat and putting your bags away and sitting down, but they are there to answer questions and to help out, so it does seem crazy that they're physically at the job but not getting paid for that necessarily. Now, of course, a change.org petition is a pretty ineffective way of actually solving any issue, especially regarding like a workplace pay dispute. But the point of it really seems to be more about raising awareness among the general flying public than it is about providing actual prescriptions for how to enact necessary changes. And interestingly, the petition itself is not directed at any specific airline, but rather it's directed at the airline industry at large. And, you know, like, doesn't name any specific carriers, it doesn't name any specific CEOs or, you know, anything like that. It's just talking about airlines in this country in general. It is officially addressed to President Biden, as well as to Sarah Nelson, the international president of the Association of Flight Attendants, John Samuelson, the president of the Transportation Workers Union, and Julie Hendrick, the president of the Association of Professional Flight Attendants. So, you know, it is sort of an open call to the public and to airlines, you know, writ large, but also specifically to union representatives who, you know, represent different airline industry workers to maybe take up this cause and to, you know, bring about some change on this front. Now, yeah, as I mentioned, like, it's pretty unlikely that any change will come as a direct result of this petition reaching its goal of 150,000 signatures. And I'm not sure what happens when it reaches that, other than that it's one of the most signed petitions on the website. But, you know, yeah, that doesn't trigger any type of, like, renegotiation of contracts or any type of legislation. But what it will likely do, and what it already has proven to do, is that, you know, it has succeeded in raising awareness and starting a conversation among the American public, which, you know, could lead to public pressure being directed at the airlines to make them address this matter head on. You know, like, that's, I think, more than anything else, that's what really a petition is designed to do, is just to raise awareness and to get people focused on an issue that then would bring about, you know, public pressure and bring about change. You know, at the very least, it will hopefully lead some passengers to approach flight attendants with a bit more respect and understanding the next time they step on an airline. Now, you know, so all that said, and everything that comes with that, of course, it is, you know, it's always good to do your due diligence and to hear both sides of an argument before you form an opinion. And so to that end, I've been reading a lot of different posts about this issue and you know, different articles about it and you know, reading Twitter threads and Facebook posts from different flight attendants and people in the industry. And there's also a lot of people who do reporting on the industry and are maybe, you know, work in different elements of it or are consultants who have a different opinion on this subject. And so I've kind of taken the main arguments that I've been able to find that against this, against the concept of paying flight attendants more for getting board for the boarding process, and distill them down to like a few main points that are being put out, you know, that are being thrust against it over and over again. And those points are these here. That flight attendants are paid for boarding, just not as much as they're paid for flight time, which, you know, we have covered that, but it is true. Like, they are technically paid for that time. Another argument is that they're also paid for sitting in a crew lounge waiting for an assignment, even if they don't get one. So, you know, I don't know enough about the inner workings of what it is to be a flight attendant. I assumed that you were assigned to certain flights and you would go work those, but I guess maybe there is also time in your schedule where you just report to an airport and wait to be needed to go on, you know, you're on standby of some sort to fill in a flight crew or something like that. And so when that's the case, if you are there, you are getting paid for that. I don't know the rate that you're getting paid. It may be similar to what you're getting paid during boarding. But either way, that is technically paid time as well. Flight attendants are also paid at layover hotels and while in transit to and from the airports and the hotels, which, you know, makes sense. It is another thing where they are in another city and they're technically on the job and they have to get to the place that they are going to be staying. So they should be paid for that time as well. And of course, they're paid for training, which, you know, I would hopefully expect from most every position that exists. And, you know, so the main sort of main argument that I think people have leveled against, you know, changing the way that the pay structure works currently is that the formulas that are used to determine the pay for flight attendants are all negotiated by the flight attendants unions, you know, the ones that are represented by unions. It's all negotiated there. And so it all comes from the same slice of, you know, pay pie. And if the flight attendants want different compensation or they want to slice that particular pay pie differently, they just need to negotiate it through their union. Which, you know, this may be why the petition itself is actually directed at union heads rather than at specific employers, you know, different airlines, because really the action needs to be taken up by the unions themselves to change this issue. And so, you know, of course, those are all very valid counter-arguments, but they still don't address the core issue that workers are not being fairly compensated for the time they're spending on the job. Like, I think that is kind of what it all boils down to, is that there is a set of employees who are doing very important, you know, frontline customer service work, who, while they are physically there on the job doing it, are not getting fairly compensated for that time. And so, you know, as is the case with so many different issues like this surrounding, you know, unfair labor practices and underpayment. It is unsurprising that underpaying this group of airline workers seems to be very much a U.S.-centric practice. You know, from what I can tell from, you know, different articles I've read and you know, just seeing what comments people from other countries have made, most carriers in the rest of the world calculate a duty period from sign-in time, which is usually anywhere between 60 to 90 minutes prior to their first departure, all the way until sign-off time, which is usually somewhere between 30 to 60 minutes after their final arrival at their final destination. And in addition to that, these carriers may even provide a higher rate of pay for the actual flight hours. So it might be that they get paid a reasonable, you know, above minimum wage rate for all the time once they sign in, you know, an hour to an hour and a half prior to their flight. And then while they're in the air, they get paid an even higher rate. And then once they land in the closing procedures and everything before they leave, they are then paid that reasonable previous rate again. And so, you know, of course, we've discussed this type of thing on so many different occasions about differences between labor practices and the rights of workers in particularly places like Europe, but, you know, all around the world and in the United States. And it is always over and over again the case that American workers tend to get squeezed more than workers from other, you know, developed nations or however you want to call them that. And so this is, you know, no different. Flight attendants are obviously getting exploited more so by American carriers, American airlines, than they are by, you know, any other airlines in other countries. And so, yeah, like, just to give a little context here, flight attendants in the United States typically only get somewhere around 100 flight hours per month. But that does not mean that they're just working those 100 hours each month, which, you know, as we discussed here. And on top of that, a common complaint from flight attendants themselves are that airlines have continued to add more and more pre-flight duties and requirements throughout the boarding. They've added more and more pre-flight duty requirements and the boarding times have continued to increase, which was mentioned in the petition. You know, they claim that over the last decade, the amount of time for the boarding process has gone from 30 minutes all the way up to 40 minutes. So that's, you know, an extra 10 minutes of time that they are expected to be doing you know, direct customer service work without getting fairly compensated for it. And so, yeah, again, looking around on social media and in the comment section of the petition page itself, it really hammers this point home. You know, there's a number of comments from people who work in the industry and specifically flight attendants themselves or people who are related to flight attendants. One flight attendant commented that the parts of the job that we aren't paid for are getting more and more demanding, and I want to see change. And there's a comment from someone who signed the petition that it's highlighted right at the bottom, right below the actual text of the petition, just to make sure everyone sees it. And it's a pretty insane story. They say that one time I had a baby have a seizure during boarding. You know, and I have been on flights where there are medical emergencies, and the flight attendants are the ones who have to respond to that. And so if that happens during boarding, they are taking on this very intense job that is probably outside of their actual, the bounds of their job description. And again, without getting adequately compensated for that. And so, I mean, just like if you take a step back and think about it, like, can you imagine what the PR and customer service backlash would be if flight attendants simply neglected all tasks that they were expected to perform prior to the closing of the doors and the pulling away from the gate? You know, I mean, obviously a lot of that time is spent with just people in the aisles and getting to their seats, but flight attendants are there right as you walk in to help, you know, answer any questions you may have, and they are there to help get your bags into the overhead bins. And also, it always seems like they're doing a lot of work of organizing the food and, you know, drinks and things like that, and getting the all of the amenities that are provided on the flight prepared to then be delivered to the passengers once they are in the air. So yeah, like if there were no drinks that were served in the premium cabins when you sat down, or if people couldn't get any help stowing their bags or their coats or anything like that in the overhead bins, or if there was no one there to physically answer their questions, if they had anything like that, if they had any concerns or issues, I mean, I think there would immediately be a public outcry against the airlines for not providing that service. And so, you know, in a way, that is an essential element of what the flight attendant's duties are. You know, obviously, being in the air is probably the most stressful element of it, but to a degree, you know, once everyone's in their seats, it's a lot easier to kind of maintain order versus when everyone is up and moving around and everyone's trying to jockey for position to get to their seats. That, you know, even as a passenger, that's kind of a stressful time. I can only imagine that as a flight crew member, that has to be an extremely difficult time. And so, just to take a quick break here, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Labor Radio here on listener-supported KBOO Community Radio. We'll get back to our discussion about unequal pay and dangerous working conditions for flight attendants in just a moment, but I want to drop a quick reminder here to please donate to KBOO right now during our winter membership drive. After this show is done, be sure to go and check out all the great All Thrills, No Frills special programming that we've got at kboo.fm/thrills. And please help us reach our $15,000 fundraising goal by donating today at kboo.fm/give, or if you're using the KBOO mobile app, just click on the donate button. Thank you so much for supporting community-powered radio, and now back to our discussion. So yeah, if you are just tuning in now, of course, we are continuing discussion about how flight attendants, the concept of flight attendants are not actually paid for the boarding process time, and how, you know, that is something that I was unaware of, and I think a lot of people were shocked to find out, and there is in fact a change.org petition that is demanding that this practice change. And so, yeah, you know, on top of the idea that, like, if flight attendants were not to, there were to just not provide any service during the boarding process, that's not to mention that, like many other frontline service workers, over the last couple of years, flight attendants have also taken on the added responsibility of enforcing COVID safety requirements, the enforcement of which routinely leads to confrontations and disruptions, disruptive behavior from passengers. You know, I mean, I don't know how many videos we've seen over the last couple of years since COVID really exploded of people just freaking out on flights, and, you know, the people that are the ones who are there to deal with it are the flight attendants. Like, that's their job. And as those incidents have risen, as tensions have grown, there's, you know, so that like tensions have grown and people are getting more agitated as they get on flights. Plus there's more rules to enforce on the part of the flight attendants. And then on top of that, the time it takes to board is growing. Yeah. So all of that leads to a situation where these people are doing stressful, difficult work without getting adequately compensated for longer amounts of time than they were.
Yeah, and there's been a ton of studies as well that has just seen kind of aggressive behavior in folks as like society kind of returns more normal as well. So I think you add that on top of it, and it is a plane that people don't want to be on is definitely a point of contention.
Yeah, like I remember, I guess it was a little over a year ago, but just before the January 6th riot at the Capitol, there was just videos coming out from all over, like cities all over the country, of flights heading to Washington, D.C., full of people who were refusing to wear masks and were singing like the national anthem, like just doing really weird MAGA stuff and disrupting flights. And like the people who had to deal with it, obviously, you know, the passengers around them, but the people who were tasked with dealing with that were the flight attendants. And that was never part of what they expected when they took that job, I imagine, prior to COVID. And in fact, a survey conducted last summer by the Association of Flight Attendants showed that 85% of working attendants had dealt with unruly passengers in 2021, and nearly one in five had experienced physical incidents. So, you know, yeah, again, this comes as no surprise considering all the viral videos that we've seen, but that is pretty shocking. Like, what other work environment would there be? Like, you know, what other type of employee would accept that level of violence and altercation as like a part of their job without also then getting adequately compensated for that time?
Yeah.
It just seems pretty crazy to me. And yeah, I mean, it has been documented that attacks on flight attendants, airport gate attendants, and even just fellow travelers have increased significantly over the last 2 years. And the issue has gotten so bad that flight attendants unions, and particularly the one that's headed by Sarah Nelson, the Association of Flight Attendants, that Sarah Nelson herself actually had to issue a statement this week in support of a national no-fly list for unruly passengers. Nelson was quoted in that statement as saying, "Our flights are under attack by a small number of people, and it has to stop. Just this past week, an out-of-control passenger tried to open an aircraft door and charge the flight deck. We've been punched, kicked, spit on, and sexually assaulted. This puts everyone at risk and disrupts the safety of flight. Our union continues to call for the creation of a centralized list of passengers who may not fly for a period of time after being fined or convicted of a serious incident." And, you know, this part is actually really interesting. Nelson points out that this is not about masks, and the worst attacks have nothing to do with masks. You're either for protecting crew and passengers from these attacks, or you're against them. Sorry. We need clear and consistent rules for the strict consequences consequences for those who cannot respect our collective efforts to keep everyone safe. And so, you know, in that statement, Nelson and the union urged the FAA, the TSA, and the Department of Justice to come together to implement an official no-fly list for unruly passengers. And, you know, as luck would have it, in immediate response to that, the FAA announced that they have stepped up efforts to work together with the FBI to ensure unruly passengers face criminal prosecution. And they announced that just as of the beginning of this year, so the first, you know, month and a half of 2022, they have referred 80 cases to the FBI, and they have said that there are 499 reports of unruly passengers, 324 are related to face masks, 123 of those investigations, 123 of those incidents had investigations initiated into the individuals, and 59 FAA enforcement cases were also initiated as a result of that. And, you know, there's a lot more that can be covered, but, like, you know, the obvious question that comes to mind is, like, why don't these workers strike to get better conditions and to get better pay and safety conditions and everything? And, you know, that's the obvious question, and unfortunately the answer is that airline workers are covered under the Railway Labor Act of 1926, which was amended in 1936 to include airlines, which just happens to be a decade before the Association of Flight Attendants was formed. The RLA, the Railway Labor Act, was written by Congress with heavy input from railroad barons. And essentially the main thrust of it is that it does not allow for anyone in these specific industries, you know, deemed essential industries, workers to strike because that would then interrupt interstate commerce, and they could not allow that. So it you know, basically forces the two parties to a negotiating table, and forces them to find an amicable way to solve the problem, and makes it very difficult, if not illegal, for these workers to strike. One flight attendant put it online, striking has to be approved through the court system and go back through the union and the company. It takes a lot of time to organize a strike in the airline industry, but having paying customers speak up about it, however, speaks volumes. And so I think that's really kind of getting back to the heart of what we're discussing here, that like this petition was initiated by airline workers, by flight attendants, and it's basically a cry for like somebody do something, you know, a rallying cry to raise awareness about this issue and to basically bring about public pressure to make the industry change its ways and to make the union fight harder for this issue. And so, yeah, if you're interested in learning more about this issue or signing that petition, you can go to change.org and search flight attendants need to be paid for boarding. Like, that's the title of the actual petition. And it's the first one that pops up when you do that. And you can sign it. You can see who else has signed it, see the comments, you know, read the actual description of it. And there are plenty of discussions happening on different online forums and many articles about this as well. Obviously it's a very complicated issue, but it is an issue that, like, next time you get on a plane, remember the fact that the flight attendants you're interacting with are actually not getting paid or not adequately getting paid for that time. And so, you know, be kind and give them a smile and treat them with respect and try not to make their day any more difficult than it has to be. We are out of time. So thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back with you next month with a video.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio. Thank you.
presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Welcome to Prison Pipeline, produced at the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. The Transforming Justice Coalition is back in Salem with unfinished business from the 2021 Oregon legislative session. This year, Senate Bill 1510 proposes to reduce unnecessary police stops, improve success for people on probation and parole, and address racial disparities in the criminal legal system. With me is Julianne Jackson and Talia Gadd with Partnership for Safety and Justice. Welcome to Prison Pipeline.
Thanks for having me.